Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What would it look like to be in the presence of God? Some might picture it as a greeting card looking all peaceful and pleasant. Others might think of Michelangelo's painting on the Sistine Chapel of a gray-bearded muscular powerhouse hovering in a cloud held up by angels. Or perhaps you might think of God sitting here quietly in a pew observing our worship. Fortunately, we don't have to imagine what it would be like. Isaiah recorded it in today's Old Testament lesson, and it's like none of the above. He wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." So take note, Isaiah didn't have to imagine what it was like to see God. He saw him with his own eyes. And along with seeing God, he saw angels who offer incense to God. And he described them this way. "Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Now, seraphim is a fire angel. That's what the word means, fiery angel. And naturally, they would be at the altar where there would be hot coals and incense would be thrown onto those hot coals. That's how incense is even burned to this very day. You have to throw it on a hot coal in order to get it to smoke. And the song of the angels is what we sing before we take communion. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." We join in the angels in singing that hymn every time we receive the body and blood of our Lord, as we will today. Now, Isaiah's vision of heaven was nothing like a tourist, maybe observing the Grand Canyon for the first time. Isaiah was frightened by his sense of unworthiness to be in such close presence to God. So he lamented and cried, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Like St. Peter said pretty much the same thing when he witnessed the miracle of the catch of fish. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Now, if you stop and compare Isaiah to the seraphim, you'll see that Isaiah is unworthy. He feels sinful to be allowed to see God with his own eyes. But these holy angels who have no hint, no blemish of sin whatsoever, even they cover their eyes with their wings, not even daring to look upon the God whom they so faithfully and lovingly serve. They cover their eyes with wings. And they even cover their feet. Now, why cover your feet? Well, I suppose you could say that feet are how you walk the walk. Feet are the deeds you do. And as far as the angels are concerned, their holiness and their actions are not worth promoting in the presence of God. And of course, neither are ours. The angels are content to offer fragrant incense to God. Why does God want incense? Well, the book of Revelation says that in heaven, incense is mixed with our prayers, the prayers of the saints. That's us. This is pleasing to God. Yeah, when we pray, we never pray alone. We've got the angels praying with us. No prayer is ever alone. No prayer is ever private. The angels join us in praying, and God is pleased with that. So what an awesome duty the seraphim have as they humbly cover their eyes and their feet before God as they join with you in your prayers to God. Now today, we have come into the presence of God. Like Isaiah, we come before God as sinners. Like Isaiah, we remember our arrogant behavior toward others, our boasting, our putting earthly concerns above our reverence for God. Like Isaiah, we frequently allow the unbelieving world to have too much influence over us. Its uncleanliness and its dirtiness have soiled us too. Isaiah was rightly terrified, and so should we. Today, the scriptures, God's word, speaks to us the same way that it spoke to Isaiah long ago. It lets no one off the hook. We are all poor, miserable sinners who, like Isaiah, stand before God guilty as charged. Now, in response to this, Isaiah could have just ignored God's call. Many do. He could continue to wallow in the unclean world as he did before. Many do. He could have preferred spending time doing anything other than a brief period of time in God's presence, like many do. But not Isaiah. He didn't offer excuses. Instead, he confessed his sins. After all, if even God's holy angels hide their glorious works before the face of God, what does Isaiah have to offer? The answer is nothing, and neither do we. You see, Isaiah entered God's presence a sinner, but he left God's presence a saint. How so? We read that right after Isaiah confessed, "One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.'" Now, why would the angel take a hot coal to the prophet's lips? Well, the altar was the place of sacrifice. The altar was where you would make sacrifices to atone for your sins. These Old Testament sacrifices all foreshadowed the one great and final sacrifice that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would make to forgive the sins of the whole world. By taking that coal off the altar and touching it to Isaiah's lips, the angel was showing Isaiah that the coming Savior that God called him to proclaim would take away all sins, his as well as ours. And through the preaching of the gospel, sinners become saints through faith in God's marvelous promises. We no longer have those Old Testament priests offering the blood of animals. We have the Savior offering his own blood. And this good news goes out through the world, through lips, through the preaching of the gospel, and it enters through ears so that we can hear it. As St. Paul says in the book of Romans, faith comes through hearing. Having received God's forgiveness, we read, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" What was it that made frightened Isaiah so eager to go now and serve the Lord? It was forgiveness. Forgiveness is gospel. And only the gospel motivates a believer to serve God. Now, the Ten Commandments, the law, they have their purpose to show us our sin, but they don't forgive us. God's law was never intended to forgive a single sin. It was to drive you to the gospel, where that alone forgives sins. The law only and always accuses sinners. The divine mercy available in the gospel, now that excited Isaiah. Knowing that his sins were forgiven, that gave Isaiah great joy and great eagerness to serve God and to proclaim his word. And the same excitement that Isaiah experienced is for you and me too. Knowing all that God does for us through Jesus blesses us to open our lips and tell others that wonderful gospel of our Savior. While it can feel a little bit unnerving, I know, to tell somebody about Jesus, your church, and your faith, it really isn't. You see, you're always in the presence of God, and he's always with you. Didn't Jesus say, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world"? So whenever you open your mouth to speak, God is right there with you. Jesus is always present for you. The same Lord that was with Isaiah, he's with you. The same Lord that took away his fears and his sins takes away yours too. May God bless us always with this wonderful knowledge through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise and we'll confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158.